Hare Krishna. Japa book, chapter 11, the seventh key, humility. The first verse of Shikshastaka glorifies the holy name and describes the results of chanting, especially mention the holy name's ability to conquer the material energy, which is otherwise unconquerable. In the second verse, however, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that although Krishna has kindly filled his holy many holy names with his full shakti, we failed to get the seven effects of chanting mentioned in the first verse. This is because of our anarthas, especially the offenses we commit. We hear this and we are sincere. So we work on our anarthas. We realize that they prohibit us from seeing Krishna. Our anarthas and aparadhas pull us away over and over again from simply listening to Krishna's name. Our efforts should lead to perfect chanting and on to ecstasy. One would expect then that the Shikshastaka's third verse would describe the ecstatic symptoms that one attains after imbibing the knowledge of the first two verses. But no, the third verse describes a humble condition. After hearing everything we've heard, and after recognizing our condition and what we should do, what we must do to improve it, yaniya shuniya bishakainu. Still we drink poison, still we remain attached to the material world and its sense objects, and still we remain afraid of giving ourselves to the holy name of Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks the third verse of Shikshastakam to teach us the essence of the devotional process. After we develop faith in the holy names, we gather our knowledge and intelligence, and on the strength of our faith, try to concentrate while we chant. It doesn't take long to notice that our strength and intelligence are insufficient. Our high estimation of ourselves as capable and sincere, estimations based on false ego, are unable to help. The mind, which works endlessly to protect our false sense of self, cannot help either. Instead, we find that when we sincerely try to chant and to perform devotional service for the pleasure of Krishna and the Vaishnavas, the first result isn't ecstasy, but humility. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore writes, Trinadapi sunichena, trodapi sahisnuna, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One who thinks himself lower than the grass, who is more tolerant than a tree and who does not expect personal honor but is always prepared to give all respects to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. Actually, humiliation seems to come even before humility. If I compare the sankalpas I made with what I actually did and the results of that, the truth becomes clear. My determined effort to advance in Krishna consciousness, renouncing once and for all my anarthas, my offenses, and the petty material desires that have invaded my consciousness, has not been successful. I become painfully aware of my incapacity. Overcome by things unrelated to Krishna, things I have chosen to indulge in, I now find myself embarrassed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prescribes humility as the path to pure chanting, for it will in time be followed by full dependence on Krishna. Humility is the natural result of the sincere desire to advance in Krishna consciousness. It's easy for those who are not serious about advancement to think they're advancing quickly. They may even wonder why so many devotees struggle when Krishna consciousness is obvious, natural, and easy. These young souls conceive of devotional service as a series of activities rather than a full surrendering of the heart. But those who actually want to love Krishna and purify the heart have to turn on the light in the room of their consciousness, a room they discover that has not been cleansed since time immemorial. Krishna consciousness seems easy when the light is off because we cannot see the dirt. But as soon as the light goes on, we see only dirt. This vision awakens humility. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that prospective chanters of the pure name see themselves as lower than grass. When someone steps on grass, the blades spring up again. But as soon as the person has passed, spring up again as soon as the person has passed. Vaishnavas, however, do not spring up. They always consider themselves fallen because they are only too aware of that dirty room. When someone criticizes them, they consider that the critic has had only a fleeting glimpse in the door of the room of their consciousness. They are aware more than anyone else of the state of the room and are disgusted by it. Even pure devotees whose consciousness is fully pure share this mood. After speaking about the quality of grass, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turns to the exalted quality of trees. If one comes to cut down a tree, the tree doesn't complain. Even when a tree is dying from lack of water, it doesn't cry out. When it is hot, the tree provides shade even to the woodsman with the axe. Trees also offer their fruits freely, even to those who have failed to provide them with water. When we cry out, it's usually because we think we don't deserve the way others are treating us. But if we examine our hearts, we'll see that we do deserve our suffering. In this mood, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur states, O Lord of my life, how shall I tell you my shameful story? There is no sin that I have not committed thousands of times and more. O Lord, Sharanagati Atmanivedanam, Song 2, Verse 1. Therefore, tolerance is an important Vaishnava quality, and lacking it is a sign of flourishing false ego. An intolerant person wonders why others have dared to remain ignorant of his or her role as the center of the universe. Vaishnavas are tolerant because they realize their insignificance and how much lies between their desire to surrender to Krishna and the actual fulfillment of that desire. Instead of focusing on perceived insults, they focus on cleaning their consciousness, and they spend no time criticizing others, even those who may try to offend them. They're practicing everything that happens to them as Krishna's mercy for their rectification. But real humility is difficult to achieve. It is not the product of the intelligence, but of deep spiritual realization. To be fixed in humility is called nishtha. And those who become serious in Krishna consciousness begin to understand the deep lamentation of an acharya like Bhaktivinoda Thakur and feel a little of it themselves. They are forced to become humble, especially when they attempt to chant attentively and without offense. I've heard that Srila Prabhupada glorified even the attempt of pure chanting when he told the disciple, simply the sincere and continuous attempt to chant attentively without offense is the Namashraya, Namabhasa platform. Krishna's response to a humble appeal. We cannot control Krishna's response to our humble attempts to chant. Neither can we control what karmic reactions he has arranged for our purification. We are completely dependent on his mercy. Still, what we can control is the choice to make a sincere attempt. In a 1974 lecture in Hawaii, Srila Prabhupada told his disciples, so we must be purely chanting, but we should not be disappointed, even impure. Therefore, we must have fixed chanting process because we are not in the pure stage. Therefore, by force, we had this training in our childhood school. Our teacher would ask me, you write 10 pages, handwriting. So that means practicing 10 pages, my handwriting will be set up. If we do not even follow 16 rounds, where is the question of chanting Hare Krishna? Don't be artificial. Don't be a show bottle. Be the real thing. And that is wanted. If you want real benefit of spiritual life, don't be a show bottle. If one can chant purified, offenseless, one time Krishna nam, he is freed from all material bondage once only. Eka Krishna name kore sarva papahai. When the light goes on in the consciousness, we see our shortcomings and naturally we become humble. Then, amanina manadena, we will require no respect for ourselves, but will give all respect to others. When we reach that state of mind, Kirtaniya Siddhahari, we will be able to chant the holy name constantly. What is the connection between humility and constant and inoffensive chanting? Humility makes us beg to serve the devotees, our spiritual master, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu and Sisi Radha and Krishna. As our aspiration grows, we will see how weak it is, and yet we will treasure it. We will soon realize that our only hope to attain our goal is to take shelter of the holy name. When the desire to serve Krishna is mixed with humility and a full awareness of both our impurity and our inability, we will have found the key to taking shelter of Krishna's names. Hare Krishna. That is the end of chapter 11. Hare Krishna.